If I was one of Mahler's parents and I had heard that, I would have been leafing through the yellow pages under child psychiatrist within about 5 seconds. As a young man, Mahler came to identify himself as Ahasuerus, the wandering Jew. For example, in a letter written while he was 18 years old, he described a dreamlike scene in which he, Mahler, in the guise of Ahasuerus, sought salvation from an angel who turned heel and walked away, a total divine blow-off. I quote the letter. I, as Ahasuerus, stare after him in immeasurable grief, then take my cane and wander on without tears, eternal, immortal, unquote. Writing many years later, Mahler's wife Alma referred to his restlessness, what she specifically called his Ahasuerism, his wandering Jewism, reporting Mahler's almost pathological discomfort with wherever he was at any particular moment, his constant need to move on, to be on the go, as if the next stop just down the road would finally provide the spiritual and emotional peace of mind he so vainly sought. I would tell you that the figure of the homeless, rootless, lonely wanderer, searching but never finding, asking questions for which there are few answers, is a constant, basic theme in Mahler's letters and music. From the very beginning of his compositional career to its very end, from the Songs of a Wayfarer in 1885 to the Song of the Earth, Das Lied von der Erde, of 1909, Mahler's music is about the isolated individual coping, or at least attempting to cope, with romantic rejection in the Songs of a Wayfarer, the struggle between hope and despair, Symphony No. 1, the questions raised by death and redemption, Symphony No. 2, the relationship between the individual and nature, Symphony No. 3, the deaths of children, the Kindertotenlieder of 1904, the grieving process, Symphony No. 5, and so forth. You get the picture. Mahler's music asks lots of questions. In his late works, like The Song of the Earth and the Symphony No. 9, he provides very few answers. I have seen Mahler's music described as philosophical tracts in sound, even as Talmudic contemplations. Oh, you'll excuse me, I'm reminded of the joke, which you'll forgive me for telling, the joke about the two Talmudic scholars who run into each other on the street. One asks the other, "Why do Jews answer every question with another question?" To which the other replies, "Is that true?" Truly, Mahler's world, the environment that shaped his soul, his music, his relationships with the world, his own life, Mahler's world was his inner life, his interior emotional landscape. Rarely will we encounter an artist, or for that matter, any contributing member of society, which Mahler indeed was, who generated such a degree of their reality from a place entirely within themselves. Is this narcissistic? Is this egocentric? Well, yes, we suppose. What's incredible is that Mahler was able to unite the diversity of his world and his often tortured emotional makeup into a music so rich and original that it sounds and acts like no other music in the repertoire. Mahler's life and times. Let's begin. Early life. Gustav Mahler was born on July 7, 1860, in the Bohemian village of Kalisz, roughly midway between Vienna and Prague. In 1896, Mahler recalled his home village in a manner devoid of the usual rose-colored glasses when I was a lad nostalgia. I quote Mahler. "You see, I was born in a miserable little peasant hut. We didn't even have glass in the windows. In front of the house was a pond. The little village of Kalisz and a few scattered huts were the only things near. My father, Bernard, had already tried every possible way of earning a living, and with his exceptional energy, he had worked his way up. At first, he had been a carter and had read and studied while driving his horse and cart, all kinds of books. He had even learned a little French, which earned him the nickname of Coach Box Scholar. Later, he worked as a clerk in various factories, and then he became a private tutor. Eventually, he moved to Kalisz on marrying my mother, Marie, the daughter of a soap boiler from Lettich, who did not love him, hardly knew him before the wedding, and would sooner have married another to whom her affection belonged. But her parents and my father were able to bend her will and make his prevail. They were as ill-suited as fire and water. He was rigidity, and she was gentleness itself." unquote.